What do you think the heart of Easter is? The heart, you know, the core, the center. That's what I want to look at this morning, the heart of Easter. I'm going to take the time to read a fairly lengthy passage here just because it's the Easter story. We spend a lot of time reading all of the Christmas stories, the different accounts in Scripture, you know, Luke's account, Matthew's account at Christmas time. I want to take the time this morning to read a fairly lengthy passage. Before we read it, let's take a moment to ask God for His divine touch this morning. Father, we're thankful for the time of rejoicing that we've been able to experience and participate in on this Easter Sunday. So thankful that you're alive. So thankful for the meaning and the reality of the cross and the empty tomb. Father, where would we be if it wasn't for that cross, that shed blood? Where would we be today if it wasn't for the resurrection of Christ carrying those elements of the sacrifice to the throne room, the mercy seat of heaven? We bless your name this morning. And now as we look into your word to look clear specifically at a subject that is relevant to Easter and specifically for our hearts this morning, pray that you would give us that anointing that is needed. Give me the anointing as speaker. Give all of us the anointing that is needed as hearers. Open our ears, open our hearts. By thy touch, by your anointing, I pray. In the midst of our weakness, may you be seen and felt and heard, and the strength be given. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Mark chapter 16, beginning with verse number 1, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun, and they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you." And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. She went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, they believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. What an incredible story, isn't it? Beautiful story of Easter. What is the heart of Easter? We know and understand very clearly that the scene of Easter is a beautiful scene. It's an exciting scene from our vantage point looking back. It's an exciting scene. It's beautiful. But the disciples and the other followers, they were confused. They were frustrated. Maybe there was even a hollow ache down inside of them. Everything that continued to happen caused an emotional tear to spill over the brim of the eye and fall down the cheek. How were they ever to go on? Yet early on that Easter morning, the ecstatic news clip began to spread through that old-fashioned grapevine. It wasn't as quick as today's grapevine and social media, but it began to spread through that old-fashioned grapevine. And the news clip was spreading around that something was unbelievably that had happened. Something unbelievable had taken place. Something that was unbelievably good. Maybe too many of them had that thought in their mind that if it's too good to be true, or if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And so they had reservations. As a matter of fact, the passage that we read revealed that they actually doubted those that said they saw the Lord. It was just too good to be true. But let's go back several hours. Refresh our memory about the betrayal, and refresh our memory about the trial, the ruthless scourging, the nails, the agony, the darkness, the loneliness, the death, the burial, the grieving and the hurting, the necessity or the duty of anointing his body. And then suddenly there was this realization of hope. And if I might even add here just a little bit, that it wasn't just a small case hope, but it was a capital hope. Capital H, capital O, capital P, capital E. There was something that was rising up within because of the realization that he could be alive. And that grapevine began to crackle with that news that Jesus could be alive. Is this the heart of Easter? Go with me back into the book of Genesis in chapter number 3 and verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And then verse number 11, and he said, and God said, hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? Paul records for us in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, by one man entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, all people, for all have sinned. We can see throughout all of history that sin has wrecked and ruined lives. Sin has wrecked and ruined nations. All throughout the Old Testament writings, we see the rising and the falling of the Israelite people, and it's seen to us, we can read about it in vivid, gruesome detail. There's prosperity, there's sin, there's captivity, there's peace, there's disobedience, there's bondage. Over and over again, the children of Israel, who were called to be God's chosen people, and they should have known better. They had the law. They understood the law. They admitted that they would follow the law. And yet, time and time again, they found themselves in prosperity, and then sin would follow, and captivity would soon come, nipping at their heels and take them into bondage. But we find Isaiah, a prophet of Israel, and he records the heart of God for his people in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now, and let us reason together. Says the Lord, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. And then we go on just a little bit further to the 43rd chapter, and we find Isaiah again recording that thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. Could it be that that is the heart of Easter? Let's hurry on and take notice of the parable seen in Luke's gospel in Luke chapter number 15 of a son who had demanded his inheritance and left home and wasted his money and his health on sinful pleasures. You remember the story? Oh, it surely ought to stir up some kind of emotion as we meditate on the realities that Jesus gave to us in that story. Sin will take you further than you ever thought you'd go. Sin will cost you more than you thought you would ever pay. Sin will keep you longer than you ever dreamed that you would stay, ever willing to stay. And so we find this man, he was in a deplorable condition. He was in a messed up state. And when out of the fogginess of his mind and his nutrition starved mind, he began some way to remember something about home. Luke chapter 15, verse number 18 and following, I will arise, he said, I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion on him, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. When God ran, now that's good news this morning. Could this be the heart of the Easter message? Could this be the heart of Easter, that God ran with compassion to this wandering son who had been in deplorable condition, had wasted his substance and his health in riotous or pleasurable living? Let's quickly go to the cross. Jesus is suffering from the anguish of the last several hours. His body is mutilated and bleeding. His hydration is at an all-time low. In the darkness, his father has even turned away from him. He has some company. A couple of men, one on each side of him, on two other crosses, and they were mocking and cursing at him. Somehow, some way, at some point in time, one of those malefactors at some point changed his tune and speaks kindly to Jesus. Keep in mind that he had just been cursing and mocking Christ. But there was a change in his demeanor, and there was a change in his tune, and he speaks kindly to Christ, and we find that there is a brief exchange of words in which Jesus is offering this thief on the cross grace. Offering him grace. What is grace? Grace is undeserved kindness, undeserved mercy, and even an undeserved hope. And he offers him kindness. He offers him mercy. He even offers this cruel man on the cross hope. I like what I heard Alistair Begg say about this scriptural story. And while I'm not going to give it to you verbatim, generally, this is what he had to say. He said that when this thief died and stood before the entrance of heaven, he caused quite a stir there at that gate. And he didn't know why he was there. He couldn't answer simple questions about Christianity. The angels didn't know what to do with him until finally one of them asked the thief, "On what basis are you here?" And that man who had moments before been cruelly talking to the Christ and had been mocking and cursing at him, but after the hope that was presented to him from the Savior, and the question is, on what basis are you here? That thief looked at them and said, "The man on the middle cross said I could come. The man on the middle cross said I could come. No merits of my own. Nothing that I have done, nothing that I have to bring, but hallelujah, the man on the middle cross said I could come. Not my name, not my place, or not my face, nothing that I would have, only, simply and only the man on the middle cross said I could come. Think with me here. Surely this is the heart of Easter. Surely this is what Easter is all about, that the man on the middle cross said I could come. Do we have time to sing 1,000 hallelujahs for the reality that no matter who we are or where we've been or what we've done, the man on the middle cross provides us the means of gaining access into the glory realm? We could quit and go home there. But I really can't let you go without looking quickly at one more person. This man might represent any and all of those who feel that they have gone too far, or those that have gone and done too much, or maybe they've been gone too long. He's known to us as Judas. Judas Iscariot, and we usually say that with a little bit of bitterness on the end of the tongue. Judas Iscariot, he's the one that sold the Lord in an act of betrayal for 30 pieces of silver. Now Judas grieved over his decision. He even went part way in making amends for that decision. But his sin loomed up large in front of him. Yes, he had greatly transgressed. But I have no doubt that forgiveness could have been his if he would have made his way to the man on the middle cross. Asking my wife to come to the piano. Someone might ask this morning, how in the world could I believe that Judas could have been forgiven? How could he have been if he'd have gone to the man on the middle of the middle cross? You see, if we go to Luke chapter 22, verse 3, it tells us a little bit of a key element that was taking place within the heart and the mind of Judas. It says that then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. You see, the reality of it is here of Judas's life is that sin had taken him further than he ever thought he would go. Satan entered into Judas. He wasn't exactly acting alone. Now I believe that he had to take responsibility for his decisions. But we see that the Gospels tell several stories of Jesus casting out devils, casting out demons. There was a demonic force at work here in the life of Judas, and when he came to his senses, when he came to the reality of what he had done, he grieved over that decision. He tried to make amends for it. He just stopped short of going to the man on the middle cross. Judas could have received forgiveness because the man on the middle cross paid the penalty for all sin. Not just my sin or your sin on that, you know, that level of sin that's not quite so bad, but for all sin, no matter who sinned, no matter what sin, no matter where the transgression was, no matter what took place, God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven sins because of the middle man on the cross. I believe that is the heart of Easter. That is the heart of Easter. That Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all so that we could have resurrection and life ourselves. I want you to stand with me this morning with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. And I don't know where you are in your relationship with Christ on this Easter Sunday, but I want you to know, I want you to know that the man on the middle cross paid your sin penalty and your sin debt. He paid our sin debt, and he gives forgiveness. That thief that in hours of being hung on that cross as a sinner and a defiled man and a cursing man, what merits, what is the basis for you being here? The man on the middle cross said that I could come. He is the resurrection and life. Do you know him this morning? Let him come into your heart on this Easter Sunday morning. Let him change your life this Easter Sunday morning. Here's an altar that is prepared for prayer. It's a place where you can do business with God and you can confess your sins and you can be made new, a new creature in Christ. I know it's difficult to step out in a crowd like this, but he welcomes you. Go tell his disciples and Peter. When the father saw his prodigal son, he ran with compassion and fell on his neck and kissed him. He welcomes us. The thief on the cross, he gave him grace. He gave him mercy. He gave him hope. One has come. Is there another that would like to join in prayer and seeking coming to Jesus? It's not a matter of I've gone too far or I've done too much or I've stayed too long. It's not the point. He is willing to forgive. You can pray and seek him, and he with open arms receives your repentant heart. I know it's not revival setting, it's not a revival meeting, but would you bow your head, would you close your eyes? Is there someone in here that would just simply say, Brother Ziegler, my heart is touched, I want to be a Christian, and would raise a hand, no one looking around. See that one. Just put it up and back down, we'll be fine. God knows your heart this morning. He wants to meet your need. He wants to change you. Amen. Waiting for just a moment longer. The heart of Easter. The open arms of a Savior. Stretched out from side to side on a cross that is willing to give grace and mercy and hope for the lost. Won't you come to him this morning? Those of you that would like to, let's gather in for prayer with one that has come. If you need to go, please go quietly and reverently. Thank you so much for being here. It means a lot to see you in our services this morning. Trust the Lord will bless each one with the spirit of Easter, the heart of Easter, making it real. Let's gather in and have prayer.